Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. You know, folks, one of the things I get to do, and it's a great part of my job, is I get to travel around the country during the year and deliver speeches and do different things like that and meet people and see what's going on out there in the marketplaces, in other marketplaces, other parts of the world. And I meet some pretty cool folks. And I met Steve Hufford a few weeks ago in Florida. I was down there giving a speech to the Association of Financial Technology Group. And Steve was part of that group. And he came up to me and we started talking and got to know each other. And he told me what he did. He says he helps people sell their businesses. And I said, well, we need to talk. I need to get you to join me on the show and talk about what you're seeing out there. He is a senior vice president with Raymond James & Associates, and he's here to talk to us about that right now. Steve, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Good to be here.
It's good to be good to have you here, and it's good to talk to you again. I enjoyed my visit with you guys a few weeks ago.
Well, and everybody at our group thought that you did a great job, so we really enjoyed having you.
I appreciate that very much. Steve, one of the things that I've been concerned about, and it seems to me that one of the really tough situations in the economy in the last couple of years have been those businesses that would have liked to have sold their business. You know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, they put themselves on some kind of a schedule for because of their age, or whatever their reasons were, to be selling their business sometime around 2010. And, you know, as you know, you probably help companies do this. And because you don't just wake up one morning and say, I'm going to sell my business today. It takes time to get it ready. But most of those people have probably had a pretty tough time because, as I think you'll agree, a lot of those businesses aren't worth as much today as they would have been maybe 3 years ago or as much as they will be 3 years from now. What do you think?
Yeah, Jim, I think you're exactly right in that observation. You know, we've all kind of been through an unprecedented time in the economy. And, of course, it really kind of heated up in the 2005, 2006, 2007 time frame. You know, in the investment banking business, we track this concept of multiples, you know, which is the multiplier of revenues or profits or EBITDA, however you want to look at it. And those multiples were really high back in 2007. And then, of course, in 2008, particularly towards the end of 2008, they just absolutely dropped off the table. 2009 was a pretty tough year for people trying to sell their business. And, of course, our business in investment banking was down, you know, kind of on a national business, not
right.
just my firm, but anywhere. Because, you know, people were unable to sell their business for the types of values that they had hoped to have been building up over years. So we saw that very same thing, understand the difficulty of that. Now, of course, there's some good news on the horizon, which is that for, you know, lots of reasons generally having to do with the recovery of the economy in general, multiples are starting to come back.
When you talk about multiples, explain to the audience what you mean by the term multiples.
Sure. You know, investment bankers and buyers of businesses or sophisticated buyers of businesses tend to look at the, you know, what we call the financial profile of a business, which is essentially the revenues and the earnings of that business over a period of time. And they look at things like the growth rate of that business, the, you know, the recurring or not nature of the revenue in that business, you know, all of the sort of qualitative characteristics of those businesses. And then based upon the industry that the company is in and the growth rate and these other characteristics, what they'll do is they'll ascribe a multiple to the earnings of that business. And again,
and there are a number of different ways of looking at that, aren't there? There's profitability, there's cash flow, sales. There's a lot of different ways to calculate multiples, aren't there?
Correct. Correct. You know, in
and what is not. Some people are heavy in one area, some people are heavy in the other area, but it really should be looked at across the board, shouldn't it? All the different aspects as a whole picture.
That's exactly right. In the kind of the earlier stage of the business, the more the focus is going to be on the revenues and the revenue multiple.
Right.
For a mature business, they're going
to
look at it.
Because they're less likely to be profitable.
That's exactly right.
Right.
In the later stage business, they're going to look at it on a calculation of EBITDA, typically, which is sort of a cash flow based earnings analysis.
Earnings
before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization.
Yeah. And that's an acronym for sort of recasting your financial statement, adjusting the numbers off your financial statement, folks, so that they come up with a number that's easier to understand what your performance in your current business would mean to a future prospective purchaser.
Right, sort of cash-based earnings. And you look at that, and you look at the growth of that over time, and you say, wow, this is a really stable earnings base, and it's growing pretty fast, and so that deserves a higher multiple than a business that would have, you know, sort of a lower rate of growth and a less stable earnings base.
And see, folks, as you're preparing, as you know, we've talked about this in the show for the last 12 years, over the years, as you think about selling your business, you start thinking about managing it based on the way a prospective buyer would look at it rather than the way you managed it for 20 years for your own purposes, right, Steve?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you know, what kind of the idea that you and I were kicking around down in Florida, which I think is an interesting one for, you know, your listeners to think about as business owners, is, you know, the old Stephen Covey idea of beginning with the end in mind.
Right.
Is to say that, you know, let's look at what you think you might want your business to look like on the day you sell it, and do so maybe 3 or 5 years before you sell it, rather than waiting until 2 months before you sell it to start thinking about it that way.
Now, one of the things we're going to do, Steve is, you know, Steve, we're sort of like the Hotel California around here, Steve. Once we find you, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave. So Steve's going to be back another segment after this break, but we're going to get him on in the future to talk some more about some details about buying and selling businesses. But in the next segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about what it's like right now. What are some of the issues right now? And what do you need to be doing as we move into this recovery and hopefully into an expansion if you want to sell a business? 20 after, I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back. Little Heartland music bringing us back. Little Hoosier music. That's John Mellencamp. Once upon a time known as John Cougar. Yeah, we're rocking and rolling here on the Small Business Advocate Show. 23 after the hour, I'm Jim Blasingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. Don't do it when you get a chance. Do it now. Don't wait. Go there now and see what you find there. I think you'll find something that will help you with your small business. Whether you got a tiny, tiny startup, as I was once upon a time, or if you're about to bust out of the seams and go public, from one end of the spectrum to the other, we got something that will help you there. And all that's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow me at Jim Blasingame. Steve Hufford is with us, folks. He's Senior Vice President at Raymond James and Associates Investment Bank. He helps companies sell their businesses. And of course, you can't sell a business if there isn't a buyer. So I'm sure he's involved with those guys, too. Steve, give us a website. Tell us how we can find you.
The easiest way, Jim, is www.rjbusinessservices.com. That redirects you to a Raymond James site with a bunch of slashes in it, but that gets you there the fastest.
Say it again.
www.rjbusinessservices.com. Dot com. They wind up with a bunch of S's in
there. And can they find you? How much trouble will it be to find you if they go there?
It's not hard to find me from there. It talks about our business services group, which I'm a member of, and there's a click for team, and I'm under that one.
All right, he's on the team, folks, so check it out. We're glad to say he's a new member of our team here on the Small Business Advocate Show. Steve, we're talking about buying and selling a business. You gave us a good tour in the previous segment about selling a business, about the landscape, and a little bit on the details. And, folks, in future visits, Steve and I are going to get a little bit more into the details. I want to come back and talk a little bit about some of the issues that are going on right now in the economy. And the way a deal is structured typically, Steve, the deals that I'm familiar with, the small business transactions I'm familiar with, there are at least two major components of the transaction. One of them is the some kind of financing from a commercial entity like a bank, and the other major portion, besides the buyer's investment, direct investment, the other major portion is paper that the seller will take back. And I'm wondering if currently if the second example has not gotten a lot bigger than it used to be because of the problems with the banking industry. What do you think?
Yeah, I suspect for relatively speaking, few deals that may have gotten done 2008, 2009, or late 2008 into 2009, you saw a lot more seller financed deals because the banks were essentially non-participants in the deal market over that time frame. You know, we're finding, by the way, that as the economy stabilizes, banks are now kind of creeping themselves back into the deal market, and that's a great sign for the economy as a whole, because banks really kind of need to get back to work for the economy to hum in general, and for the deal market in particular to go.
Well, debt is a risky business. That's by nature, by definition, it's all about risk. And people have been, or institutions have been, risk averse for the last couple of years. And as the economy picks up, and as it looks like things are going to be, we're moving towards out of the recovery, even into an expansion, people will feel differently about risk, and banks will come back to the market. In general, in a fairly stable environment, Steve, what is the ratio that you would tip? If you had to have a rule of thumb, if I'm going to buy a business that you're representing, you're selling for some, helping someone sell, if I'm going to buy that business, what is the general rule of thumb of the ratio between how much skin I need to put in the game, how much I should expect the seller to take back in the form of financing, and therefore by mathematics, what would be left to come from somewhere else like a bank? What do you think?
Oh, wow. That is a hard question, in that it sort of, it's going to vary a lot with all different kinds of businesses.
And the industry probably too, because of inventory and equipment, things like that.
Gosh, I would say, you can see sellers financing, anywhere from, 10 to 40% of their own businesses.
Right.
Sometimes more, but
if you're representing the seller, what would be the maximum you'd recommend that they take back in paper?
Gosh, I'd want to negotiate that as low as I could.
So I know, but what would be the 50%?
50% would have to be a max.
That's on the high end, isn't it?
I'd love to hit a much lower end.
Right. All right. So let's say you'd be comfortable with 30%. And the seller maybe brings in 20%, and now we got to get 50% for somebody else, right?
Right, right. Yeah, so you got to go get a bank or a lender of some kind, typically a bank, but could be other lending sources as well.
But see, that helps the people out there. There are a lot of people out there right now who would like to quit looking for a job and start running their own business. And a lot of them don't want to start it from scratch. They want to acquire something. And what you've just done is you've helped them to kind of get a little bit of their head around what this animal looks like. How much do I need to expect to come up with? And folks, as Steve said, it's a tough way to. I ask you, it is a tough question, but it's a little bit of an indicator about what you need to be looking at and where you're going to have to go and get your capital. Steve, give us that website one more time, please.
Sure, www.rjbusinessservices.com.
I've enjoyed having you on the show. Will you come back?
Yes, sir. Love to do it.
We'll do it again. We'll talk. We'll get more into some details when you come back next time. Steve Hufford, ladies and gentlemen, with Raymond James Associates Investment Bank. Quick break. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.